Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Well, we had quite a celebration this morning at Bill Hess's final salute, and it was just really wonderful. If you weren't able to make it, I guess some of you weren't, some of you weren't. It was really cool. After the service, they carried the casket with the American flag on it, of course, and they put him on back of a 1925 Model TT. The second T means it was a one-ton pickup truck, 1925. And it looked so cool. It really looked great. And drove that thing through the grounds over to the graveside area. And they had several other old antique cars, some Model Ts, and I think a 1929, a 1910, and something else, and several others. That just drove on over there. It was he had a smile. He'd have been proud of that, and so be in prayer for the entire Hess family, and they all know where he is. But you still miss in sorrow that that one. Okay, let's see. Let's begin with a word of prayer. First of all, we want to kind of go through some prayer requests, and want to be in prayer for Nathan. Want to be in prayer for the Hess family, all of them. Want to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards and her family, extended family. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
We have a neighbor whose name is James. He's been without a job for about 5 months. Mm. He's going to have some difficulty on finances here very soon.
Yeah, they'll start putting a financial bind on you. Wow. We'll definitely be in prayer.
Yeah, he and his family.
Wow.
Four kids.
Wow. See, that's got to hurt. Me, I can always just go flop hamburger somewhere, but not if you got four children. And, what?
She said it, I didn't.
What? She said, how about flip? Flip-flop.
No, you got to flop them.
Flip-flop.
When you work in those places, you got to flop them. Not flip them, flop them.
That explains why you never could hold down a job.
That guy keeps flopping. Our hamburgers, he won't flip them, but he flops them. Fire him.
Well, didn't
Chuck
tell you one time he thought you were going to kill him?
What?
Didn't the general make a comment one time? He said, if you're mad, if you were to kill me, drive.
Well, what happened was, no, his cook, I cooked for him and his family for a while, and then his cook from America came in, and I was going to go back to the armor division, and he called me in. He was a believer, and we'd had discussions about the Lord. And he said, well, Herman, I want to be right with you. What do you want to do when my shed gets back? And I said, well, you're going to be losing a driver, like put him be one of your drivers. He looked at me and said, well, you just want to kill me one way or the other. Kill me one way or the other. So, and but he let me, and I went to a school. I enjoyed it. There was a Jeep school, and you had to drive this course three times, and it took you through mud. It would just come up all the way. You could easily get stuck in it, and that's what they wanted to see, if you get stuck. And ice, and then the side of the hill, and all this stuff, and you can just go too fast and turn it over and all that. First time you drive through, second time, then the third time, they say, okay, you're on the clock. How fast can you do it? Boy, I had a ball on that one. Grader, he got out of there. He said, man, I feel sorry for your general. Can't breathe. He said, I thought I was going to die once in there. So, okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, of course, is to test yourself, see if you're trusting His Spirit as the teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that our friend Bill Hess is face to face with the Lord now, in your presence. We'll miss him here, but we know we'll see him again. Just pray you'll be with his family at this time. And now, Father, we pray you'll your Spirit will teach us and open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in this very important passage dealing with the world hates Jesus Christ and therefore hates us. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things we need to see and understand. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, verse 22. We finished, last week. If I had not come, incarnation, and spoken to them, declaring who he was, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Singular. And the important thing here is John 16, verse 9. And where we have the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in verse 9 concerning sin, singular, because they do not believe in me. So this is the sin. It's not sins, plural. It's sin of unbelief is what's going on there. And that's what it means that they would not have said. Had he not come, you couldn't have believed in him. It would have just not been an issue. But since he did come, it was an issue and they would not believe. So therefore. Okay, why does the world hate Jesus Christ? One, because in Jesus Christ they know they sin by rejecting him. And then two, because they hate the Father. They hate the Father. And the question arises, why do they hate the Father? Because he sent his Son. He sent Jesus Christ. So, let's look at verse 23. Verse 23... He who hates me hates my Father. So this is a very brief, very short sentence, but very important one. Hates my Father also. All right, first of all, we have a contextual problem that I'm not going to avoid. We have a contextual problem. Look back at verse 21. Verse 21, they do not know the one who sent me. Okay, they do not know the one who sent me. Now he says, he who hates me hates my Father also. So if they don't even know that the Father sent him, why do they hate him? So this becomes a problem. Well, the problem is the question is resolved in verse 21 on the word for understanding, the word to know, so that they would believe. But of course, they would not believe in him, so they do not know him. Got to know God the Father in believing in Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't know God the Father because they have a wrong view of God. Oh, God's the kind of, if I'm bad, he's going to get me. That's Job. If I'm good, he'll bless me. If I'm bad, he'll take it out on me. Bad things will happen. That's Job. And just all, if I do real good, if I obey, do and do, then God will do for me. God will bless me. So they don't even know him. All right, let's take a look at verse 23. He who hates me hates my Father also. All right, we have the same word for hate, so let's just take up some summary points here. One, there are many, many people who would deny this. Oh, no. I don't believe in Jesus and all of that, but I don't hate God. I love God. But these are the words of Jesus Christ. You want to argue with him, not me. Secondly, Jesus Christ and God the Father are one. You cannot hate one without hating the other. Look at chapter 10, verse 30. Gospel of John 10, verse 30. 10:30, I, Jesus Christ, and the Father are one. So, if you hate one, you cannot hate one without hating the other. It's that simple. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You hate one, you hate the other. The word for hate is because we are one with Jesus Christ, and therefore they hate us. Now they hate the Father because he's one with the Father. Why do they hate Christians? We're one with Christ. Why do they hate Christ? He's one with the Father. Why do they hate the Father? Because he's one with Christ. The world hates them. And then the third point. They hate God the Father because he sent Jesus Christ. They hate the Father because He's responsible for sending Jesus Christ. And then point four. Now to grasp point four, let's go back and look at verse 22. For point four, let's look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them. All right, now you're ready for verse point four. The words that Jesus Christ spoke to them were not His. They were God the Father's. They hate His words. They hate the words of God the Father. See? Now let's look at the Gospel of John 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 34. Gospel of John 3, 34. For He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for He gives the Spirit without measure. Now let's look at John 14. John 14, verse 10. John 14, 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does His works. In other words, gives Him the things that He would say. Look at verse 24, same chapter. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And then one more, chapter 17, verse 8. Chapter 17, verse 8. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, God the Father, and they believed that you sent me. So, point four, the words that He spoke that they hated were not His, but they were God the Father's. So if you hate Him for what He speaks, for what He testifies, you hate the one who sent Him to testify these things. That is God the Father. So these people that want to say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus and all that, but I have a great relationship with the Father, you lie. You do not speak the truth. Point five. The Jews claimed to love God the Father. In fact, they claimed that their love of the Father was the reason they hated this Jesus. How about that? They claimed that the reason they hated this Jesus was because of their love of the Father. Here Jesus Christ testifies of their deceit and love of their religion and law, and how in truth they hated the Father. Their rejection and hatred of Jesus Christ manifested their hatred of God the Father. Their hate of Him was a manifestation that they hated the Father. Point six. There are multitudes who claim, there's the key word, you can claim whatever you want, claim to both love and worship God while refusing to believe in His Son, that Jesus is the Son of God. The Mormons. They are blinded by their own arrogance, deceit, by their own depraved mind, these people that do this. So a lot of claim to love and worship God while rejecting, refusing to believe that this Jesus is the Son of God. These are blinded by their own arrogance, their deceit, their depraved mind. If you will, look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Familiar verse to some of us. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Deceitful. People, this is where that deceitful heart comes into play. Oh, I can love the Father and not the Son. You're deceit. You have a deceitful heart, and this is a manifestation of the deceitful heart. And one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 51, verse 17. Jeremiah 51, verse 17. All mankind is stupid. I love that. Well, that's just laying it out there, Lord. All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Devoid of who and what he is. Nowhere is this seen so clearly than in their deceitful mind that they claim that they love and worship God the Father while rejecting his Son. They're stupid. They're devoid of knowledge. They're deceitful. They deceive themselves if they think they can love and worship the Father and reject the Son. This is one of the greatest deceptions of the Mormons. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is deity, the Son of God. And yet they claim to love and worship the Father. In fact, they even claim to love Jesus, but he's not the Son of God. So first of all, we can love God the Father only in the power of the Spirit. Secondly, we cannot worship the Father while denying the Son. And finally, point seven. They hate Jesus Christ and they hate God the Father. Because Jesus Christ is a revelation of God the Father. You have seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say you love him and love the Father and hate him when he is a revelation of the Father? He is a revealing of the Father. Without the revelation of God, then they couldn't have any view they could have any view they wished of God. But now that the Son has revealed the Father, they hate him. They hate him because he reveals God the Father. And so they hate him and the Father now. In hating him, they hate the Father. Why? He is the image of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have I been, they said, show us the Father. Have you been with me so long you do not understand? You've seen me. You've seen God the Father. So, why do they hate the Father? Because he's revealed in the Son, so they hate the Son, and therefore they would hate the Father whom he has revealed. Look at Romans 1, please. I realize just how important the Romans book that we've been working on is. Romans 1. Let's look at verse 30. Slanders, haters of God. Goes right with this whole movement. Haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Let's note the progression in Romans 1 again. Let's look at it. Verse 21. They knew God, but did not honor him, darkened soul. Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for image, idolatry. 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, the lie. Verse 28, did not see it to acknowledge God any longer. Then it's no surprise in verse 30, they hate God. Verse 30 falls in line with the whole momentum now. So see what we're doing? Verse 21, they knew God but did not honor him as God. Then you move to verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image, idolatry. Then you do that, then verse 25, you exchange the truth of God for a lie. Then you move from that, now that you've got that done, verse 28, did not see it to acknowledge God any longer. They didn't care about God. And therefore, 30, became haters of God. They know He exists. They've tried everything to deny Him, get away from Him, but all their efforts only made His existence more real. You ever try to forget somebody? The more you try to forget them, the more they're on your mind. I'm just going to forget them. It's, you try to forget them, and the more they're on your mind. I got to remember to forget this person. So I got to remember this person so I can forget him. Forget her. This type of thing. The more you try, the more they're on your mind. So the more they try to get rid of him, the more he's on their mind. All their efforts only made his existence more real, more pertinent. This caused them to become angry to the point of hating him, hating the very fact he existed. Now they try to outlaw him in the judicial system. So the more you go against his design, and which they did in the passage of Romans 1, exchanging the sex for the men, men, women, women. The more you go against His design, people, the more you hate Him. The more you hate Him. Hating God comes from a strong desire to be in control. See, that's the great problem. Man wants to be in control. Hating God comes from a strong desire. I want to be in control. A person who is obsessed with being in control resents those who will not submit to their control. But they hate, above all, the one who prevents them from being in control, and that's God. So they hate Him. The more you attack His design in nature, in life, like authority of parents. It doesn't surprise us in Romans 1, after haters of God, disobedient to parents. Why? That wouldn't surprise us at all. They hate authority. They hate God's design. So, they hate parents. Authority rejected is authority hated. You reject the authority of a policeman as a young person, you hate policemen. You reject the authority of your parent, you hate them. You reject the authority of God, you hate Him. So it's no surprise when Christ says in John 15, became haters of God. They hate me, they hate the Father also. And as a society starts rejecting God, they start rejecting the authority of God, they start rejecting the authority set up by God, the home, the husband, the family, parents, society, teacher, police, military. They even hate the design in marriage. So, rather than man-woman, they advance homosexuality, lesbianism. They just hate God's very designs. They hate it, and they hate Him for doing that. The more you resent His authority, the more you hate God. You just have to get rid of God. And those who insist on believing in Him, you have to get rid of them also. Knowing that God exists and hating Him has always been in existence. We're getting ready to look in a few minutes at "It is written in your own law, they will hate me without cause." This has been from the beginning. Look with me at Exodus 20, please. Exodus 20. Exodus 20. And let's read together verse 5. "You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." This is given all the way back in Exodus. Before they've even started their wilderness journey, there are those who hated God. So when it says written in your law, just remember these kind of things are already in the law. There have already been those who've hated God all the way through their history. Look at Psalm 68, please. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. There have already been those who hate him. All the way through the history of Israel, especially at various times in their history, there have been a multitude who hated God. Okay, let's take a summary. One, once you acknowledge the existence of God, you have to make a decision concerning God. Once you acknowledge it, you have to make a decision concerning God. And we know from Romans that everyone knows that God exists. So now you have to make a decision. Point two. You believe in the being of God and seek to know Him. Or you reject any relationship with Him. Three, this rejection then leads to opposing all of His design and provision. Children of Israel got angry over manna. You start resenting His design and provisions. And then four, this rejection leads to hating God. This rejection leads to a hatred of God. Five, hate Him for all that is happening in your life. Hate Him for all that's happening in the world. I'm always interested in people who do this. First, you deny He exists, but boy, you hate Him for all the things going on. Well, if He doesn't exist, why do you hate Him? If He doesn't exist, why do you blame Him for things? But you have to hate Him for all that's happening in the world. There's nothing else you can do to express the turmoil going on in your soul, to knowing that God exists, and yet you refuse to come to Him, to respond to Him, so you just hate Him. And finally, point six, this hatred originated with Satan after his fall. He hated God. And what I think is so interesting, he hated God and then he sought to be just like Him. That's just amazing. I hate God, but boy, I want to be just like Him. And has throughout all history seen fit to fight against God. I hate God. I hate Him. But I want to be just like Him. This is the fundamental to the nature of man. This is fundamental to the nature of man to be like God. The most appealing thing about Satan's speech to Eve was when he said to Eve, "You will be like God." Wow, that did it. Man has ever since desired to be like God, to be in complete control. And they resent, even hate God, because they cannot control Him. Cannot control what He does. So you either decide, I'm going to go on hating Him and resenting and be angry, or I'm just going to trust Him. Okay, now we're ready to move in John 15. Let's go back to John 15. Ready to move now to verse 24. Beautiful verse. John 15, verse 24. if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. Well, wait a minute. What's the difference in this and verse 22? Look back at verse 22. In verse 22, what was it? His words. But here in verse 24, his works. So, what you have, verse 22, they hated his words. His teaching. Now, they hate his works. So, there's the difference in these two passages. Have an advancement. From words to works. They hated him because of his words. Now, they hate him because of his works. Okay, what's going on here? There have been and will always be many who claim to be Christ. Ever since he was here, there have always been those who claim to be Christ. Some of them we like to lock up in a loony farm. Others we put on TV and promote them and send them money. So it just depends on how well they can pull it off. But there have always been those who claimed to be Christ. But none even comes close to performing the works of Jesus Christ. They can proclaim all they want, but they don't even come close to doing the works. And that's why it says here, if I had done among them the works which no one else, had I not done among them the works which no one else could do, no one else, they would not have sinned. So, he did things they couldn't do. All these false people claim to be Christ, which no one else could do. Many claimed, but could not back it up with the miracles that he did. With this in mind, let's look back at the Gospel of John 9. Gospel of John 9, verse 32. John 9, 32. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. And yet he did it. And boy, did that make the Israelite, priesthood angry. Instead of turning to him, wow, you can do that, I'm going to follow you. They hated him. They resented him all the more. See, so let's look now. Verse 24 of John 15. Let's go back now. If I had not done the works. First we have the aorist active participle of the normal word to do. Poieo. P-O-I-E-O. To do something. Plus the noun ergon, works. And performance. Referring specifically here to his miracles. Referring specifically here to his miracles. It says works, but it specifically refers to his miracles. We all know that if one can do exceptional things, there are many who will rise up against him, hate him, for he is different. Sometimes this is true just in life. Somebody excels at something. Nobody really likes that. Start in sports and you excel and you're just obviously a cut above. Other teammates don't really like you. Somebody makes a straight A's without studying. That's why you start resenting them. So this is what's going on. And we have seen that the world hates those who are different. We've already seen that in our study of hate. The world hates those who will not conform to them. The separation of church and state. Why do they? That has become a thorn in the flesh now. Because that means that the church is not part of us, the world. So the world hates the church and is going to move against it. Why does Jesus Christ move from words, teaching, to works? Why does he do that? Verse in 22, he talks about his words. Now he's talking about in verse, he talks about works, miracles. Okay, look at John 10 with me. Gospel of John 10. Gospel of John 10. Let's look at verse 31. John 10, 31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works. I showed you many good works from the Father. Now we know why they hate the Father. From the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? Now look down at verse 37. I just want to deal here with the works. Down at verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, do what? The works of my Father, you do not believe me. That is, believe his works. They do not believe his words. He taught, did works to back them up. They don't believe him. So he says, believe the works then. If you don't believe me, that's in my words, which they already hate. Believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. That's why they hate the Father. They hate the Son, they hate the Father. They hate the one that he sent, they hate the one who sent him. So Jesus Christ came and spoke to them, declaring who he was. Then Jesus Christ performed miracles to authenticate his words. They rejected his words and hated him. They reject his works and hate him. They reject his miracles. See how this thing's going? Since you're still there, verse 31, pick up stones to stone him. And he said, I show you. He didn't say, I taught you things. He said, I showed you many good works that are from the Father. For which one do you hate me? Verse 37, if I do not do the works of the Father, do not believe my words. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, that's believe my words, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. And what do? They hate his words, they hate his works, they hate the Father. Because now they're seeing the Father, what he's really like. Look at John 14, please. John 14. John 14, verse 11. Believe me. That is, believe my words. Now, we already know they hate his words, but that's what he's saying. Believe me. Believe my words. What I say. And what does he say here? I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. So what I'm showing you here is in the John 15 passage, verse 22, the words, verse 24. What? He's now dealing with the works. They hate them both. They hate both of them. So in verse 11 of chapter 14, believe me, that is, believe my teaching. What is my teaching? I am in the Father, the Father in me. Otherwise then, believe on account of the works themselves, the miracles. Remember, Jesus Christ never performed a miracle to cure hunger or sickness. How rude and crude and how horrible of a monster he would have been, that if he goes through the waters and can heal this one person and he's everybody else out there, he's a failure if he did it to relieve pain. He didn't do it to relieve pain. He did it to present his works. These are the works of the Father. You can trust what I say to you. What I say to you is that I'm the Savior. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. I'm the King. I'm the one sent by God the Father. Look at John 5. Gospel of John 5, verse 36. John 5, 36. But the witness... And what is the witness? That I am the Christ, I am the Messiah, I am the Anointed, which I have is greater than that of John. Now the witness is greater than John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness that the Father has sent me. Then we hate the Father. We hate you. We hate the Father. We hate your words. These are the words of the Father. We hate the Father. These are the works. They're the works of the Father. Then we hate the Father. See? This whole thing is just flowing together. How they hate him, they hate the Father. They hate him, they hate the Father. And the word to send here in verse 36, the Father has sent me, this is apostello, which emphasizes a relationship between God the Father and the Jews. He loved you so much. He sent me. He let me do these miracles. Let me teach these things. Let me do these miracles so that you would believe that I am from him. And what do? You reject me and hate me and end up crucifying me. So God cared so much for the Jews and for the world. Not only did he send his son, but he made sure he understood who his son was by giving him these miracles to perform. God gave him both the words and the works. Let's go back to John 15 now. John 15. Then it says in John 15, they would not have sin. Singular. Same principle we saw in verse 22. The sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. He came and he spoke to them. They rejected and they sinned. What was their sin? They refused to believe that he was the Christ. He did these works. And what do? They reject him. And now the rejection is turning into hate. They rejected him all the more. The law revealed that they were sinners. But now the coming of Christ did not only offer redemption to sinners, but it also ministers great condemnation. But now, they have both seen and hated me. See, they heard, but now they've seen the works. That's what's going on here with the word seen. They've seen the works, and they hated me and my Father as well. Look at that word now. That adverb. It refers to the incarnation. That word now, incarnation. God becoming man. Refers to his earthly ministry, all of his teaching, all of the works, all the miracles. And now, they have both seen, perfect active indicative of ora'o, simply really means just to open their eyes and to see it. There are people today, oh, if I could only see a miracle, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't believe with a miracle, you wouldn't believe without the miracle. You wouldn't believe without the miracle, you wouldn't believe with the miracle. So you know you would not. You'd explain it away. You would attribute it. Hi, here's a good one. What do you do when he does some great miracle like that? Don't attribute it to God. Attribute it to the devil. Attribute it to the devil. Look what the Jews did in Matthew 9, please. Look at Matthew 9. How do you handle when a miracle is performed like this? And you have such hatred of Jesus Christ, all of this, rather than see God, what do you do? Let's see what they did in their hatred. How do you explain away the miracles? Matthew 9:32. And as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke. The multitudes marveled, and saying, nothing like this was ever seen in Israel. In all the history of Israel, nothing like this has ever been seen. Let's believe in him as the Messiah. Come on, priesthood, guide us in leading them. Well, let's look at verse 34. But the Pharisees, religious leaders, were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Cast them out by the authority of Satan. Rather than attributing this to God, They attribute it to Satan. This is amazing. So let's go back now to John 15. I just want to take you to different things and show you what's going on in this great hatred passage and why he knows the world hates him. They have both seen, perfect tense now, Varao, seen in the past with the result of instead of believing him, they hate him. And they have both seen and hated me and my Father. He's progressing, going from you hated me, you hate the Father, now he puts them together. Hated me and the Father as well. And this is exactly, people, why the world hates him. Why the religious crowd hates him. Because he does the work of the Father. And it's because of these very words and works that draws many of us to him, causes others to run from him and hate him. Depends on your attitude. The very words of Jesus Christ, the very works of Jesus Christ, causes a lot of us, yes, he's the Messiah, he's my Savior, and I believe in him. Others, I hate him because of those words and because of what he's done. Look at John 10, please. John 10. Verse 32. John 10, verse 32. Jesus answered, I showed you many good works from my Father. For the which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Even because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. When he says, they hate me and the Father, he's made himself out to be God. They hated him for it. You and I, that's why we believe in him. He's the God-man. But what did they do? We hate you because you make yourself equal with God. This is very difficult, a lot of people. Now, see, the Mormons, they don't believe that he's God. Believe that he's God. A lot of people can't handle that. But we believe it and run to him for that very reason. They heard his words and saw his miracles, and yet they hate him and the Father. Let's look at the Gospel of John 11, please. Gospel of John 11. Let's begin reading in verse 47. John 11, 47. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council. And we're saying this is a late night deacons meeting. Here we go. What are we doing? For this man is performing many miracles. Now, we should know that he's from God. But look what they say. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. Well, now right there is the big lie. Oh, I mean, I wish it were true. I wish everyone would believe in him. But we know that's not true. They don't. So that's just to add to the force of their argument. All will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place, our authority as religious leaders, and our nation. So they're looking out for themselves. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you stupid people, you're not thinking. You know nothing at all. Means you're not thinking. Nor do you take into account that it is expedient. Here's political, being politically correct. It is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish. Now, he did not say this on his own initiative. Being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. Now, he doesn't know that Jesus is dying for the nations, what's going on here. He's saying it was something else in mind. But, of course, God is going to turn it. Verse 52. And not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad, Jew and Gentile. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. There's the hatred. There's the hatred. Okay, now we're ready for verse 25. Let's go to John 15, verse 25. This is great. John 15, 25. Now look what he says. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Okay, let's see what we got going on. But they have done this. We have a strong conjunction of contrast. But what's the contrast here? Come off of verse 24. Let's look at it and see if we can see the contrast and see what's going on here. On 15, verse 24 says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. They would not have rejected me as the Messiah. But now they have both seen and hated me and the Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word. Okay, what's in contrast here? But instead of responding to him and believing in him, they refuse to believe in him. And they hate him and they hate the Father. This is what's going on. Done this. What? Hatred toward Jesus Christ? Hatred toward the Father. Why do they hate him and the Father? In order that they did not hate Jesus Christ because of him or because of what he did or anything that he said. No fault on the part of Jesus Christ, but because of their own souls. Remember that hate from their own soul, while detest depends on the object. You detest something because it stinks. I detest that. I detest that smell. But hate is because of you. It has nothing to do with the object. It has to do with you. I hate this person or that. That's inside of you. It has nothing to do with the person. You detest something. We studied this several weeks ago. We went back and looked at the law. You detest that which is prohibited by the law, but you hate that. Hating has to do with your own soul. It doesn't have anything to do with the object. And that's why it said without even knowing why they hate him. So this is what's going on. They've done this in order that. Okay, in order that what? In order that the word may be fulfilled. Okay, we have the aorist, passive, subjunctive, of plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero. Plero means to make full, to fill, F-I-L-L, to fulfill, or to perform fully. In order that the word may be fully filled. Aorist tense. Takes all the hatred of Jesus Christ into one fulfillment, one ball. Passive voice. The subject receives the action of the verb. Here what is written may receive being filled. What is written in the past may be being filled. The subjunctive food, the subjunctive mood as to when its fulfillment is certain, but when it will receive being fulfilled throughout history, namely the time of Jesus Christ. Okay, what to be fulfilled? That is written in their law. That is in the Jewish law throughout the Old Testament. And we're going to look at some of these. Sometimes the law is used to refer to the entire Torah. Sometimes specific parts of the law, like the Ten Commandments. Sometimes the entire Old Testament. What is interesting here is why the Holy Spirit chose to use the reference law. Because their hatred of Jesus Christ will come from their own distortion of the law, of the Torah. They will use the law, people, to hate Jesus. Oh, he did that on the Sabbath. They will use the law to hate Jesus and to get rid of him. Just like in our country now, they're using the law to silence Christianity. They're using the law of this land to get rid of God, to get rid of Christ, and to silence Christians. That's what the Jews were doing. They will distort the law to hate Jesus because of their hatred of Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, the world would hate Jesus Christ as over and over and over. And so it says, but they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And we'll pick it up here next Wednesday night and see what all is going on with this. Where is it written? How has it come across in the Old Testament? Let's close now in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's so evident the hatred of the world and almost all of the world today. There's a darkness covering the entire world as people turn more and more away from Jesus Christ, from your word, from the living waters of the Holy Spirit. Our country is definitely getting darker. Places all over the world are getting darker. The influence of Jesus Christ is minimized, and therefore immorality around the country, around the world, prospers. Economic poverty, symbolizing, reflecting the spiritual poverty. So much going on, Father, that are just results of when one does believe in Christ, when a society does understand things in the Bible, and what happens when they don't. What happens when they reject that truth? Things start changing in their soul and in society, and we're seeing it, we're witnessing it right now. The words of Jesus Christ are becoming forward to the forefront now. The world hates him, and the world hates those who reflect him, who are witnesses of him. Father, we thank you for what we've seen tonight. Pray your Spirit will take these words now. Simmer in our souls and think about it and see more and more and understand more and more what's happening. Not resent it, not react, just understanding. We've been warned by Jesus Christ. If the world hates us, they hated him first. What they did to him, they'll do to us. Father, pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.